This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. No more scrambling for loose change in the glove compartment. The Mass Turnpike is going cashless this Friday night. Toll booths are coming down, and all drivers will pay tolls either through an EasyPass transponder or by getting a bill mailed to them. And it's a big change that will take some time and cause a bunch of intermediate complications, namely lots of traffic problems for several weeks. State Highway Administrator Tom Tinlin is in the studio to talk about the changes. He'll also be taking your questions. Administrator Tinlin, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate the opportunity.
And since we are here at the very earliest part of the afternoon commute, let me throw the phone number out. If you have a question for Tom Tinlin about the big changes coming on the Mass Pike, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Okay, Mr. Tinlin, let's just start out with the basics and what will be the immediate impact on drivers when all those toll booths start coming down beginning on Friday?
Sure. So again, thank you for the opportunity. I mean, the decision in the Commonwealth to go to all electronic tolling was made in 2012. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, were at the time were saying, is it coming? Is it really going to happen? Are we going to see the changes? And here we are, you know, some 48 plus hours away from implementation. So it's a really exciting time for sure. But there's some anxiety out there as well, as there should be. And what we're trying to prepare people for is really, in order to reap the benefits, you know, we're going to have to pay a little bit of a price, especially as it relates to our commute. Mm. As I told people earlier today, I mean, I want to be 20 pounds lighter, but I don't want to go to the gym. So this is kind of where we go to the gym in order to reap the benefit of that. And what folks are going to see beginning around 8 o'clock at night on Friday, they'll see the mobilization of our resources, being all of our contractor vehicles, MassDOT personnel, and as well as our state police details. We'll go to various rally points around the state and then be deployed at 10 p.m. What happens at 10 p.m. at these 23 toll plaza locations is we begin the process of setting up our temporary traffic lanes to channel traffic to either the furthest left-hand side or furthest right-hand side of the existing toll plazas, really where you see the easy pass lanes now because they're the widest and can accommodate the more throughput.
So this is going to happen at every single one of the toll plazas all along the entire length of Mass Pike starting at the same time.
You got it. You got it. So 23 locations and 132-plus miles of roadway simultaneously. And then what happens is as we channelize that traffic through, we do our pavement markings, we make sure that the traveler, the motorist, knows where they're supposed to be on the road, and we keep them in that lane until they get through the work zone. Once we've established that, now we're probably into Saturday morning, midday Saturday, we begin to deploy the resources to tear down the toll plazas.
Right.
So we start in the middle. That process.
Can I just jump in here for some clarification? How many lanes are we going to lose during this process?
Depends upon where you are. Obviously, you know, we're trying to maximize our ability to get the work done, but not cripple traffic. Hmm. So right now, through these toll plazas, you maintain a speed of 15 miles an hour. So we've done some analysis. We believe in most cases we have the capacity to move that traffic through, but there will be delays. So we're going to keep as many lanes open as we can. But the whole idea is once you demolish the center portion, you push that traffic that is now on the outside lanes of the toll plazas through the middle. So on November 22nd, people will start to reap the benefits of the program because whatever lanes of traffic are through the middle of these old toll plazas, that's what they're also going to get in final alignment. So if you're
November 22nd?
November 22nd.
that's
November
like a month
22nd.
Away.
I'm well aware. So, you know,
and right on top of Thanksgiving too.
Right, we're aware of that as well. So look at, you know, there's never a good time to put 23 work zones on the roadway. There's just not. You know, there were some delays in issuing this contract many years ago, and I completely understand why. If we had our druthers, maybe the timing would have been different, but we are where we are. And people need to, you know, what we keep trying to explain to folks is, you know, no one's just doing this for the sake of doing it. You know, the direct benefit from this program is frankly what other states have enjoyed. You know, this is new to Massachusetts, but this is not new technology. It's not a new way of doing business. And the overarching principles is to decrease your congestion, increase your air quality, and make the roads safer. So on the Western Turnpike alone, we have data that show 60% of rear-end accidents are more likely to occur at the Western Toll Plaza than anyplace else in the state. So it's very rare in public service that you get an opportunity to implement a program that has those three benefits, and this one does. So, we're going to have a little pain for these 23 days. But once we get through that and we start to reap the benefits of this program, you know, a lot of people are going to benefit by this.
Well, so in these first 23 days when the toll booths are in the process of coming down and you've got underground tunnels to fill in and then roadway to repave, lines to repaint, all the gantries where the all-electronic tolling equipment's going to be hanging from, it's got to be... are those already up at all the toll plazas?
They're already up.
Okay. But anyway, so obviously there's a lot of work done and in this three-ish or so week time horizon. But specifically, like, what should drivers be planning for? Should they be factoring in, I don't know, an extra half hour, extra hour for their commute? What are they looking at?
So the more time you can give yourself in practicality, the better you're going to be. So, you know, I heard some people recommending an hour. You know, one thing that we would suggest is people get as much information as they can really before they leave the house, right? This is going to get a lot of media coverage. It already has. So people will be able to get their traffic reports. People can go on to mass511.com, and that'll plug them into some 300 and some odd traffic cameras around the Commonwealth, including I-90, where they can see real-time traffic. They can go on the 511 phone system and push in what route that they want to look for. They can sign up for text alerts that will give them real-time traffic information on various roads that will tell them some conditions. So it's really about making informed decision. But, you know, make no mistake, when you go home on Friday night, when you're going back into work or school or wherever you go on Monday morning, the world's going to be different, and it's going to be inconvenient. What we're telling folks is plan as you would a snowstorm. But unfortunately, this snowstorm could potentially be every day until November 22nd. But, you know, we don't want to sugarcoat it. You know, we want people to prepare for the worst, you know, and hopefully we'll have some good days. But if folks can change their work schedule, this might be the first week you want to do that, right? If you want to take public transportation, this would probably be a good week to do that as well.
And goodness help us if we get an actual snowstorm on top of
Well, the Berkshires are going to give us a little bit of love tonight, so it doesn't look like much. But, you know, all your best laid plans. Mother Nature might have a different opinion.
All right, well, let's take a quick call here. We're speaking with Tom Tinlin. He's the Massachusetts State Highway Administrator. He's walking us through all the details of the major change that is coming to the Mass Pike, the entire length of the Mass Pike, starting on Friday when I-90 moves to all electronic tolling. Lots of questions about how much it's going to cost and why, what the state might save, what it doesn't save, and questions on the information that those overhead gantries will be collecting as you drive under them. So let's talk to Jack, who's calling from Needham. You're on the air, Jack.
Hi. I'm concerned about privacy issues. A lot of data is going to be collected on where I am and when. Is that information available to police, to federal investigators? Is it subject to Freedom of Information Act requests? Who can use this data?
So excellent question, and I appreciate you asking it. So first of all, a couple of things. It is not subject to FOIA. We cannot release it to anybody without a subpoena. And this, it's important to remember that on the Tobin Bridge, we've had this system in place now for many years, and we've had EZPass information now for the past 14, 15 years in the Commonwealth. Anytime we get a subpoena, we also notify whoever the subpoena is against that, hey, we've received a subpoena for your information. So there are already safety mechanisms that have been in place, that are in place in other states, that we're going to continue to preserve and protect. You know, we're in the toll business. You know, we're in the spy business. We're in the CIA business. You know, there's certain data that we need to do our job and run a successful program. You know, some people want to know, well, why are you taking pictures? Well, it's simple. You know, some vehicles, they're more than two axles. They have three, they have four, they have five, and which means they charge a different price. Why are you gauging speed? Well, that's because we want to make sure that the system's operating properly. It's a predictive model, so when you go under one gantry, it needs to predict when you're going to be going under the second gantry so that the loop detectors that are in the ground are talking to the cameras that are above.
But why are you saving the speed data for 30 days when originally the state said
I was going to get there. Yeah. So what you need is when somebody gets their bill, if they want to challenge their bill and they come to us and say, hey, that wasn't me, the data will be purged once we go through an adjudication process. If we don't hear from somebody, we want to hang on to the information long enough so when they go to either renew their driver's license or their registration and they're stopped at the Registry of Motor Vehicles and they say, hey, you have unpaid toll gantries from the Commonwealth of Mass, and if that person says, wait a second, I wasn't in Massachusetts that whole time, that we can go and show them what our data shows.
I want to play a little bit of tape here, if I could, Mr. Tinlin, because on this aspect or issue of information collection, we a couple weeks ago spoke with the ACLU's Cade Crockford,
sure.
and here's what she had to say.
While I agree that electronic tolling is good for transportation, I also think that the public needs to be very aware of not just the potential harms involved with, you know, unlimited data retention or warrantless law enforcement access to this kind of information, but more broadly of all the different kinds of information that are being collected about us today and about the ways in which those data can be used for purposes that maybe in 2016 we don't even understand yet because they haven't been invented.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, again, you know, we're in a very defined business of collecting tolls. So when we in MassDOT went to the Records Conservation Board at the Office of Secretary of State and came up with a menu of, you know, what we thought were practical, hey, we need the data for this very defined purpose, for this amount of time to fulfill that purpose, and we got the approval to do that, we feel as though that was a healthy process. And the bottom line for us, as soon as we get the tolls, and as soon as the customer either pays or disputes a toll transaction, we don't want the data. And it's important to note that, you know, previously, before we began this process, there was no guidelines. You know, MassDOT was just hanging on to that data, all of it, that were being on the Tobin Bridge and in the fast lane. So our motto is that we want to purge it as quickly as we can, as long as people are paying their tolls.
Well, I want to get to the sort of more of the dollars and cents issues here, but one more question about data collection, because there's also this thing, the hot list, which, as I understand it, could send instant alerts to, or will send instant alerts to law enforcement for when specific license plates travel under these toll gantries. I mean, a lot of people have some concern that even if those instances are limited right now, that there could be mission creep over time, and law enforcement might be coming to you guys more frequently saying, you know, we need plates for all sorts of different reasons.
Sure, and you know, the important thing to remember is we control the data, right? And we control the gantries. And with all respect, you know, law enforcement, they have a limited scope on what they want to use this for, which is imminent threat. Right now, you see it with amber alerts. You see it on, you know, if an elderly person goes missing, silver alerts. So it's a very defined scope on what that type of information could be used for. You know, I would be hard-pressed to sit here and say I disagree that if somebody does something extremely terrible and somebody has witnessed their vehicle and has a plate number going away from a scene of an abduction or some type of major crime, and we know that that person went under a certain gantry, not sharing that with law enforcement. You know, but again, going to the Records Conservation Board, the hot list data is no greater than 30 days. So I guess what I'm saying is now we have some guiding principles and criteria where before that didn't exist. And all of it was entered into with what's the minimum we can do, not the maximum.
Well, let's turn to Michael. He's calling from Saugus. You're on the air, Michael.
Yes, I'm wondering what the purpose of tolling is anyway. Why go through all this overhead expense instead of just making a revenue-neutral increase in the gas tax? It would be simpler, and it would also discourage those drivers who currently, you know, take less fuel-efficient routes to avoid the tolls. It would be better for the environment.
Michael, thanks for your call, and I'm going to dovetail to that. Like, hey, there are a lot of people out there who remember we weren't even supposed to have tolls on the Mass Pike in 2016 anyway. They were supposed to be removed a long time ago.
So we were supposed to have tolls on the Pike until 2016, but the bonds are paid off in January 2017. But, you know, the legislation is clear.
Western Massachusetts is shaking its fist at you right now.
They were shaking their fist at me in the, 15 public meetings that we had as well. So that's nothing new. But in fairness and honesty, in working with the elected officials, you know, the law is extremely clear, right? It says that the toll should come down when the bonds are paid and the road is in a state of good repair. So it's not one or the other; it is both. So to satisfy the bondholders since the bonds were first issued some 50 some odd years ago, there's a triennial report that happens by an impartial consulting firm that checks all assets on the roadway, everything from road condition, all the assets that are funded out of the bonds. They have determined historically that the road is not in a state of good repair, thereby allowing for the tolls to stay up. So, you know, I completely understand people's point of views on this, but yeah, we also need to keep the road safe. We need to keep it up, and we need to keep it running. We need to police it, and we need to maintain it. And this revenue goes directly to that. It's also important to remember that the tolls that are created on the Western Turnpike stay on the Western Turnpike. The tolls that generate money for the Metropolitan Highway System stay on the Metropolitan Highway System. So it's not being used for any other purpose than being put back onto the road.
So how much does the state collect on the Mass Pike?
Oh, geez. All in, it's probably all tolling facilities. It's somewhere in the, you know, I don't want to misspeak. I'll get it for you before we break, though.
Okay. And how, and do we anticipate that the number is going to change dramatically with all electronic tolling? Because some people might be paying less. Some people might be paying a little bit more. What's the bottom line when we make this full conversion?
No. So one of the things that we tried to do is to keep the program revenue neutral. And by that, I mean both the customer experience as well as to how much money we're raising on these stretches of roadway to put back onto the road. So when we first went out and had an idea and floated publicly what we thought gantry rates should be set at to maintain that revenue neutrality, some people had some concerns with that. You know, some people's tolls were going down, some people's tolls were going up, some people's tolls were going up more than they were comfortable with. So going back and working with the elected officials, Senator Spilker, for example, the folks in Framingham and Newton, what we did is we re-looked at what the savings was because we're not going to be paying the bonds anymore. So you have $20 million in savings for the bonds. So what we said is, well, let's offset the toll increase at certain gantries to satisfy, you know, to try to keep that number down, uh-huh. which is what we did. So our data is that 64% of the trips on the turnpike for existing customers today either stay the same or go down. If you're going from the New York border to Boston, a trip that costs you $6.60 today actually goes down to $5.95 after go live if you're an Easy Pass mass transponder holder.
Right. And of course, though, if you don't have an Easy Pass and you're just cruising through with your plate, you're going to be paying quite a bit more mm-hmm. because there's a processing fee involved in sending that bill to you. But Mr. Tinlin, if I could just ask, I'm a little confused about how much money, if any, the state's going to be saving, because a while ago there was a projection that the switch to all electronic tolling was going to save the state some $50 million. That was then revised downward late this summer to saying it would cost $5 million less. So the savings would be $5 million in comparison to what we have now. So what's the actual number here?
So when the previous administration started to use the, and I understand why, use the $50 number for savings, that was if you just stop collecting tolls. You tear everything down, you send everybody home, you no longer have anybody in your payroll, what would your savings be? And that was $50 million. But that what it didn't take into account is what the annual cost is to run another program. So when you look at what the technology is, what the gantries are, what the operations and maintenance costs are, so we went very conservative on that. We didn't want anyone to think anyone was hiding the ball here. So we loaded that number up with everything that would have to be paid for under the gantry program, and we found out that the true savings is somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 million a year. Now, I will tell you, I think that savings number will grow because you don't have reoccurring costs associated with it like you do when you have personnel and you're paying salaries and a 33% thereabouts fringe benefits on top of that, health care, et cetera, et cetera. So our numbers should stay pretty well set as we move forward. But, you know, I think in year one, you're going to see around a $5 million savings.
All right. Let's turn to Helen, who's calling from Sudbury. You're on the air, Helen.
Yes. I have a question on the basic equity of how roads are paid for in Massachusetts. Obviously, I live in one of the western suburbs and ride the Pike a lot. But I want to know why people who ride the other arteries into Boston don't have to pay, especially now you have this special method of collecting tolls. It doesn't require putting up tolls like Route 1, Route 3, Route 2, Route 9, Route 24, Route 93. Why do they not all have to pay as well, and why don't you put up the same kind of collection on those roads as well if you're going to put them up on ours, or take it down on ours and increase the fuel tax?
Helen, thanks for your call. Second question about the gas tax. Massachusetts has tried and failed.
And failed.
So, by voter referendum.
That's right. The voters have spoken. So tolled roads are different than any other roads, and you need federal approval in which to do it. And the federal government has been really clear that, you know, they have a couple of test cases that they're thinking about doing for states that have applied for it. But, you know, it's not the end-all and be-all of how do you pay for your road system. So you can't – we can't – if we wanted to go up and put tolls on 93 and 95 tomorrow, we could not do that. You need federal permission in which to do it. The only toll road allowed in the Commonwealth is the Metropolitan Highway System and the Western Turnpike.
Let's turn to Truman, who's also calling from Sudbury. You're on the air, Truman.
Hi, yes. Thank you. I'm just worried about, you know, how many stadies are on the pike all the time, causing these traffic jams, like closing lanes, like how much is spent on that? And it's just constantly causing these traffic jams. And now you're like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. We're going to have this huge problem for 23 days. That's just horrible. You know, you just don't care about the public. You know, you care about your own institution. You know, you need to, like, care about the public. Take the tolls away. Get rid of the, you know, the things. You know, it's just horrible.
Truman, we're just going to jump in there. Thank you so much for your call and let Mr. Tinlin respond.
I think that this program is actually a complete benefit to the public. Right now, every day at these 23 locations, people are stopping for no other reason than making a manual cash transaction. They're decreasing our air quality, they're increasing our congestion, and they are creating an unsafe atmosphere just purely by stopping and starting their vehicle with somebody coming out from behind them. So what we're doing is trying to look long-term and say that the pain that we're going to see over the next 23 days beginning on Friday will pay benefits off, not just for us, but for generations to come as we increase air quality, we decrease congestion, and we create a safer environment. In terms of the state police, you know, anytime we're out there on a construction zone and we're taking, you know, we're taking travel lanes, obviously there's an impact to that. We could not accomplish what we need to accomplish without the men and women of the state police who, you know, respectfully, I would argue, do a hell of a job in sometimes very difficult circumstances.
How confident are you that this work is going to get done by that November 22nd date?
I'm pretty confident. I think that some locations are more problematic than others. I think we're going to be done early in some locations. I think we're going to need every minute of that time in other locations. But when you think of like Alston, Brighton, Weston, you know, underground tunnel system, a lot of utilities, more traffic patterns than you would like, and then you think of something maybe a little further out west that's on an interchange, it's on an on-ramp or an off-ramp. You know, it's a little more simple in which to, well, simple is probably a tough word, but it's less problematic to demolish that type of toll because there's not as many moving parts.
Well, I also want to just acknowledge that anytime a major technological change happens, there, you know, there is an impact on people. And in this case, there are, what, 200 toll workers who are losing their jobs? Do I have that number right?
Well, it's more. It's, you know, 400 in change. And one of the things, look, there's a human toll here for sure. And I do take some pride in some of the things that we've put into place to try to protect the workforce and try to transition them to other jobs both within MassDOT and make them more marketable outside of MassDOT. So, for example, we've created training opportunities for people to receive their commercial driver's license. We've created training opportunities for people to get a hoister's license. And actually, some people that are collecting your tolls today, at the end of last winter, they were on snowplows pushing snow. So those folks would be able to transition into some new jobs, keep their state service time as well. We've had job opportunities for folks in a highway operations center in South Boston. We've had like 12 vacancies there in the past year, 10 of which were filled by existing toll collectors. So the thing is, when everybody knew that the tolls were coming to an end and they needed to get a new job or to retire, we wanted to do the best that we could and offer as many options as we could for them to continue in state service.
Well, as we wrap up here...
Before we wrap up...
Yeah, sure.
All tolls collected in the Commonwealth on both the Tobin, the Summit, the Callahan and the Turnpike is around $350
million. $350 million. Okay, and then a couple of quick details there that now with the all-electronic tolling in all the tunnels, tolls are going to be collected both ways, but
both ways.
Half the cost.
Exactly right. The price doesn't go up, but you're only paying the way that you travel. So if you come in the morning, but you never go out in the afternoon, you're actually getting a 50% discount.
If you just go to one side and never return,
you'd be surprised.
You're saving money.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, and for folks who might have just joined us a little bit late, can you just give us a recap on where, you know, where they can get some information on the traffic and the tie-ups that we're probably going to see in the next couple of weeks as this switch happens?
Sure. So there's a lot of information that's available, right? And the first thing is please continue to sign up for your transponder. And we, you know, just for number purposes, the influx of people signing up for transponders from August 22nd until Monday was 167,000. Actually, almost 168,000 people got a transponder. Same time frame last year, 45,000. So the word is out. People are getting them. But we know that there's going to be a lag time. And I think it's important to tell people there is a grace period. So if you haven't gotten your transponder in time, or if you got online, you ordered it, it hasn't been delivered before go live on Friday, you know, fear not. We have your records. When you get your first bill from us, you're going to let us know, hey, I have a transponder in my car. Any transactions that are on there before you have the transponder affixed, we're going to credit your account for that amount. You'll only pay with the EasyPass mass transponder, what you should pay, so the lesser of the amounts. But come Friday, there's going to be a lot of activity out there. We're asking people to, you know, go to mass511.com, take a look at the traffic cameras, plan your trip accordingly. Go to 515, dial 511, type in the route that you take so you know what the traffic conditions are. Watch your news, listen to your radio. If you can go on the MBTA, this would be probably a really good week to consider that. If you can do an alternative work schedule, this would be a really good week to consider that. Again, we're trying to treat this as if it's a snowstorm,
yeah.
But it's going to snow every morning and every afternoon during your commute for 22 days.
Yeah, and I know it's maybe a little too much to ask for people who have to do this commute every day, but a little bit of patience.
A bit of patience. We're going to get you where you need to be. And remember, the benefits of this in the future, less congestion, better air quality, better safety. Thank you.
Tom Tinlin, he's Massachusetts State Highway Administrator. Great to talk with you. Best of luck in getting this done on time.
Thank you much.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.